Yesterday we talked a lot about you being the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. All men are. And the religion that you are, doesn't matter what you call yourself, what books you read, doesn't matter how many times you accept Buddha as your personal savior or Jesus as your personal savior or Allah as your God. That's just all surface crap. What God looks at is your heart. And he sees the worship service that you routinely perform in the temple. And that defines who you are. Doesn't matter what the outward is. And so your worship service in the temple is the determining factor in everything that's important in this life. And the point of all of the of this book is to show you that the law that governs what's acceptable unto God is spiritual. And that any that the worship service that's going on in your temple is not compatible with the laws of God. It's simply not. It cannot be compatible. It cannot operate according to the law of God. Even though you are intended to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple of the living God, it has become a den of thieves. It has become a house of whoredoms. Now, it came that way because of the fall of man. And so your only hope is what the Bible calls repentance. But repentance is not, "I'm sorry I did this." Repentance is leaving all of you behind by emptying everything in you so that the holy service of God can be accomplished by the only one that has kept the law, his son, which is your real identity. Now, it doesn't matter, you can say all day and all night that for me to live is Christ, I love him, and I love God, but your fear toward God was taught by the precepts of men, so it's meaningless. There must be a transaction. And the transaction comes only when every part of your so-called worship service in you has failed. Not when you failed physically, that's child's play. But when everything in you has failed and you know it. And that's who Jesus and the scriptures and the prophets called the poor or the empty. I came to preach deliverance to the poor. Has the starkness of this hit you? Because otherwise, no matter what you do, you're just putting the name of God on this whole structure of behavior that has transpired from generations and generations. And, you know, John and I talked about yesterday, there's mountains of ancestor worship. And it's not worship just because you think it's good. Worship means give breath to. You give importance to all of the value systems and the things that you learned and the whole lineage of all of your parents and your uncles and aunts and grandfathers, all the way back to Adam. Now, until you know that every one of those value systems has failed you, until you know that there is no thing of value and all of the worship proceeds. When I'm talking worship, I'm talking about all the stuff you do. There's no such thing as, you know, as we've talked about so often, every man, there's no such thing as an atheist. Because that's just a conscious thing. Atheism is impossible for the human race because you are a temple. Your thoughts are your prayers. What you give breath to, what you give importance to, is what you worship. What you think is important or what you worship is what you sacrifice to. Every man, every woman tithes. You tithe to your chief god, whether it be cocaine or sex or self-realization or whatever it is. There is nothing optional about this book. The purpose of this Bible is to show you that your worship is empty, futile, vain, worthless, the traditions of men, and has absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom of God. What?
Could you make that a little clearer?
Does anybody not see this? Or is it just, is it?
This is bell ringers.
Huh?
This is bell ringers.
I don't know what that means. Bell ringers?
Yeah. Right on.
In this process, the reason I've talked to you about self-talk for so many years, self-talk, or the voices in your head, are a euphemism. They're really, what self-talk really is the worship service. Can you understand it? You got little priest guys up here, and they're talking to each other and talking to you, and you're talking back to them, and you're making all kinds of things to be obedient to, and things to reject because it's haram or forbidden. But it's just crap. It's just absolute crap. Now the purpose of this law, if you read the Bible, you find out that there is absolutely not one of the laws that you can do. You can't, because Christ came along and said, even if you think about not doing it, or even if you think about breaking one of them, you're guilty as if you've done it. So the purpose of all this is to shut up your mouth. That's what Romans says. There's none righteous, no, not one. Let me read that to you. Romans 3. You don't have to go there, but just for those who are in the listening audience. As it is written, Romans 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in your ways. There is no, and the way of peace you cannot know. There is no fear of God before your eyes. Does that sound familiar? Aren't you tired of playing church? Aren't you tired of living a life of acting? Oh, but I'm not acting, Mr. Oley. I'm just doing the best I can. No, you're acting. Because you know that what we just read in Romans is true. That you're not righteous. You know that cursing and bitterness are under your tongue, just a hair's breadth away. You know that you're swift to destruction. Oh, no, this is talking about those guys back there. No, it's talking about you and me. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now the irony of all this is this, what's called the law here, the law of Moses, it says it's spiritual by definition, therefore it's universal. And because spirit can't be any location, I mean, spirit can't be just over there or over here. It has to be everywhere. And so what we've done and what the human race has done since the fall is we've created our own laws. And we don't want to read about these laws because we don't want to be like Hezekiah and compare what his laws, which are usually something you think you can do, but you can't do those either. But you think about, well, if I just do the best I can, God helps those that help themselves, cause and effect, reward and punishment, all of those things that you grew up being convinced that they were in the Bible, or that they had some value, or that the little voices you heard inside your head were was your conscience. It's not your conscience. It's the voice of your ancestors screaming in your ear. And paying attention to them is ancestor worship. So that's why this mystery of Christ is it just destroyed everything. But we try to keep, I used to be bad, but now since I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, I'm good, and now I'm going to use all my talents for Jesus. Crap. That just makes you a worse, 10 times worse actor or actress.
That's Baal worship, isn't it? Just pure and simple.
It's just stupidity. You're worshiping the stupid God. The God you've been tithing to your whole life. Who do you think that is? It's the stupid God. It's you. You give your best, but you give it to you. Or yours, either one. I don't understand why anybody would ever even spend a split second to come and listen to this. What's your response to it? That's the only question. I love it when somebody, well, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm just trying to get along. I just try so hard. And
I'll tell you how it's hit me. You know, I did my little modeling stint yesterday, my debut.
Modeling?
He posed for Judy's art group. And he wanted to pose nude, but everybody in the class begged him not to.
Can't. Paint is stiff neckedness. It's a still life class.
But I sat like this for 4 hours as these women painted this personage. I had a little costume on, but sit still for 4 hours and see what happens in the temple. And, you know, you sit there and, you know, I thought, well, I'll think of some scriptures, you know. So that lasted a minute and a half.
Of course
I did. And then it went all to sexual depravity.
So it went from scripture to depravity. Just like that. Does that tell you something?
Of course it tells me something.
What does it tell you?
It's like, it doesn't matter. It's what you're saying. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. sit still for 4 hours and see what happens on the inside.
You don't have to do it for 4 hours. You just have to do it for a minute and a half.
You know, a few minutes. Yeah, I've got a minute and a half of righteousness. And,
you didn't have any spinoffs even in that minute and a half?
It was tough. I had to focus.
Now let's just carry on in that subject, okay? Go to Mark 7. Everybody turn there. Mark verse 7. Mark chapter 7, I mean, not verse 7.
February Mark.
Hair lip dog 7.
I'm there.
We expect you.
What? What are you coughing at? Verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Nobody said a damn word, just as usual. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable and said, What in God's name are you talking about? And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth not into the draught, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats or all everything. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.
You had me at evil thoughts.
All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, just stop. What does that do to your religion? He's talking to the people who lived religion 24 hours a day. Gary, are you with us? Or are you reading ahead?
No, I'm reading just what you just read, but I'm laughing because had they accepted Jesus as their Savior?
Yes.
See, that would be the thing.
Yes, they did. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been listening to him and his disciples. But listen, are you looking at me?
Are you looking at me?
You have to understand, and I'm talking to you because you brought the subject up. But you know that you have been defiled your entire life. You know you've acted as religion.
Let me tell you the truth. I don't know that a lot of times. And if I hadn't done what I did yesterday, I wouldn't know it like I know this morning.
Well, wait a minute. I know. But listen to what you said. I haven't done it a lot of the times. I don't know it a lot of the times.
Because I'm not in touch with the core.
But you know it. And so that's what we're going to talk about, is this process of deflection. Because until this hits, then everything else, because by definition, until this hits, then your heart is uncircumcised, your ears are uncircumcised, so you cannot hear. And so you'll just, you know.
When you say it hits, what hits?
If these things are going on within you at all times. Not just sometimes. It's not that you did okay, and then I did okay most of the day, and then it suddenly come upon me. That's not repentance then. You can't repent from that.
No, that's I'll use my religion to cover my own sin.
Right.
As opposed to needing Christ.
Right.
And that's where breaking is.
But this has to come back down to the point of total. It has to get to this part of you that is no longer divisible. If it's no longer divisible, then there's nothing, you can't deflect anything.
Yeah.
And I promise you, if what preaching is doesn't do this, then it's just mouthing words. It's meaningless. It's just hearing some idiot talk. This is the only purpose of preaching of the cross. And this is what the preaching of the cross is, to get to that part of you that's indivisible. And if it hasn't gotten to that part, then there has been no, there's nothing.
Yeah. What I'm saying right now, once it gets to that part, if there's not, for me, I guess confession is the factor, because you can hear and then bury so that you're not exposed and you continue to be a fraud or a fake to your fellows.
And then to yourself.
Yeah, but I don't want to be that duplicitous.
Okay, then the one you have to start with is your wife.
I started here. So.
No, this isn't start. You haven't even begun. You haven't gotten into the short grass yet. You forget I know you.
You talk too much.
Wait, I'll be happy to shut up. You want me to shut up?
Leave me alone. I know what I'm talking about.
Nobody else has this. This really wasn't all about him, was it? Just sort of. He was just convenient. It could have easily been Ronnie or Kevin.
Go around the room.
Yeah.
Can you see how your religion has deceived you? And what you've taken for religion has been the traditions of your fathers? Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter which tradition it came from. So this euphemism that you've heard me talk about for years, about stop the mind talk, stop the voices, you can't stop the voices until you know at the core of your being that there is nothing in you that's righteous and can't be fixed. This then is the start, the beginning of pillars.
This points out to me what a liar I am, I will say that I hate religion and I despise blah blah blah, and yet my own words convict me when I'm able to hear.
Yeah, you just hate other people's religion.
Yeah.
You love your own.
Yeah, and conceptually I think it's, I won't preach against it or whatever, but then I discover my own self, I'm as religious.
And then the words can't, by definition, have any life because they haven't produced death in you. These words aren't just words about, everybody memorizes a word. The mystery of God is that the only way the words that are spoken can produce life in someone else is if they produce death in you. That's why it's so critical. You understand what Paul said, and this is a targum of it, but he said, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. So that you're not just repeating something that's written in the book, say the red words, or anything else. You shut your mouth up until it's been worked out in you, until it's been fully tested. What? You're in somewhere going on here. What's going on? Well, you had more of a transaction than that just a minute ago.
I just know where I am right now, and that is that everything that I try to do to control myself is just, there's no fruit from it. It's all death.
Well, it's not death. Death is what you want.
Yes, it is.
It's coping. It's hiding. It's vows. It's all the things that the scriptures say not to do. Because you have to put all of this away in a really deep closet in order to survive. And you had to do that up till now. Because you couldn't have lived with yourself. You would have committed suicide. Because of the crap that's going on. Unless you're a sociopath, like Bloom and I. Then you can live with it.
Yeah, I was thinking of different times in my life where something happened that brings out who you really are, and then you try and put it with the way you've been trying to be, you know, and it does. It makes you want to commit suicide. And I was thinking way back in, when I first went to college, you know, I had all these ideas about, you know, political ideas about, you know, religion being a certain way, you know. But then I also found that I enjoyed smoking marijuana. But those two, they didn't go together. You know, so it was a terrible time, but it was a moment of clarity because everything was clear that everything was screwed up, and there was no place to go with it until, you know, God had to intervene.
That's why there's
been this point, you know.
That's why this thing that has happened for the entire history of man is that there's always been a generation gap. Because what in the teenage years, at least you have enough courage to at least think about the things that somebody's told you or your value systems, whatever they are. But your hormones start to interfere with you. And pretty soon, you've got to either just drop the whole damn thing and just go live licentiously, or you've got to see who you are. And that's why most people become believers before they reach the age of 19. I mean, I'm talking about true believers. Because that's where, that in the economy of God, that's where they can see that the ancestor worship, which really all these value systems are, is crap. And then everybody thinks that's bad. But I promise you, if they don't do it while they're teenagers, they'll do it later. That's why I said what happened to me at 16. Or, you know, I just went. You'll never believe this, but I was a pretty good kid by the world standards. And then all of a sudden, I just went ballistic because it just was all, every place I looked, I saw it was only crap. And I'm not unique. Every teenager goes through this. But it's, you've got to come to this seminal place. Otherwise, we can talk about groves and high places and pillars and all this stuff that are really define who you are, but you won't hear it. And when it talks about, you know, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You think, well, I'm talking about, you'd be a Knights Templar kind of guy, and you're going to go fight some crusade because it's those people over there that are evil. It's just goofy. Because the battle, Christ won the battle with all of evil, except the battle of evil within you. And you have to, by his mystery, by his the will of God, what God wants. I mean, he could easily just, you know, fix you so that you'd be but you'd be just a eunuch. You'd be an angel, which he wants you to have rebelled and gone through and pushed everything to the ultimate end. And then, my God.
Interesting. That's the place of agreement with God, because he knows who you are. And if you don't get to this place of brokenness and seeing who you are, to be in agreement with him, then you're a religious prig running around.
And that's why people reject religion. That's why the way of God is evil spoken of, because of the massive hypocrisy. And everybody, I don't know what happens when you become a so-called Christian. It's like your capacity for bullshit detection just goes out the window, because you think you shouldn't. And then all of a sudden, you give your last $5,000 from a vow of faith, and you lose your wife, you lose your business, and then you meet me, and then you end up
sleeping in a small room.
But there's still a part of me that wants none of this to be true. I still want to be king of the universe and all that other crap. So if you can think of something, just as a favor to me, if you can think of something that works, just please let me know about it. I'll try it. Unless I've already tried it before.
I'm amazed, over and over, and happened again this morning, I'm amazed at the red words. The way Christ spoke was so concise and so no shadow turning, just so simple and pure truth. And in my case, all the holy talking and all the Bible study and all the stuff that goes on during the day is nothing more than stuff that sooner or later gets me to the point where I can sit still, open my eyes, open my ears, and hear two sentences that I've always heard but have just gone right past my head. But this morning, these two sentences, it's like, holy shit. I have always, we've talked about this before, but I've always thought of myself as an innocent, empty, free moral agent put here and being subjected to evil, the forces of evil, and that there's a God someplace who may or may not help me, and there's a contest going on, and the stuff about an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, and all this bullshit. And these two sentences explode that. I'm the source of evil. But it's taken millions and millions of words and minutes and hours to get to the point of sitting still for 5 seconds to hear those two sentences.
Because, Jacob will not tell anybody his name. Yeah. A private joke, I'm sorry.
Would that be 22 and 23, Harry?
No, 15.
Oh, 15, okay.
Just 15.
I've done it for the radio people. 7:15. What could be simpler than that?
All you out in radio land. I know. I was being... Never mind. Anybody else? It's really a stupid question, but... if I asked Sue, which I'm not going to ask her, I'm just going to hypothetically ask her.
A person.
Somebody.
Perhaps it could be
somebody that's in the room.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
If I asked Sue, what in God's name attracted you to this place? You came here because you had a need for a minute, and then why in God's name did you ever stay, and why did you want to work for us? And it was, I think that the only answer would be because... It has nothing to do, your skies are spiritual or something. this is a special place. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's because the things that are said agree with what she knows deep inside, i.e., it's all bullshit. And I think if any one of you were honest. That's because that's the only thing that has kept me here, is because I already knew that everything was crap. And now it gives dimension to it, but you can't forget it. You have to stay in that place so that the remember what we've said so often, maybe you'll understand it better. Truth is a sustained consciousness of error. If you ever think you're right, you've missed it. All right, take a big guy.